6:1 said, let us leave the principles of the doctrines of Christ, baptism.
Laying on of hands, eternal judgment, that means talking about how hot hell is and how many streets there is in heaven and pearly white cities. Leaving baptisms, doctrines of eternal judgment and resurrection of the dead. You hear what I'm saying? Hebrews 6:1. Let us leave. Didn't say let's stay around and grope around and nose around them. Said let us leave the principles of the doctrines of baptisms, laying on of hands, eternal judgment, and the resurrection of the dead. Everybody talking about how Jesus is going to come through the skies, or they're going to be at mother's grave when she goes floating through the earth. You're not going to, you can be at mother's grave till hell freezes over and you're not going to see mom come out of a graveyard. That's right. Because she never went to the graveyard. Spirit returns to God who gave it. People are looking out, they're going to look for the dead to come out of the graves. That's some other King James's mistranslation. You're not going to find anybody. Listen, I used to have to excavate in graves. I was poor Indian, poor white, poor black, poor everything. I'm mixed up with everything under the sun. And I'm poor. But that's one thing, whatever it was poor. And so when I was 9 years of age, I had to go out and help dig up graveyards. They were telling me how one of us is going to be on resurrection morning, all those folk going to rise. I'll tell you, they're going to have to work at it because the gopher had some of them over 50 feet over here, and some of them had been drugged. They're over here, and they're all the bones over here. I never had such a time in my life. We finally give up. We couldn't get all those bones together because the bones are all mixed up, and the hair, all there was a little hair and some old rotten fingernails. Now, no, you know better in your life, nothing's going to come out of that old rotten casket, stinking gophers down there. That's why people say, oh, I'm looking forward to die, you liar. You're not looking forward to die. That's why I refuse. At least I'm trying to do something about it. 52 times this year, you've seen them fall out dead here in our meetings. And 52 times, I don't like graveyards so much that 52 times I've gone up to them and brought them back. You've seen it with your own eyes. In a few days, I certainly can safely predict, in a few days you're going to read about it all over the nation. And you'll read about it in a magazine all over the nation. News periodical will carry to millions, 12 million homes, how I raised the dead. So the woman comes, she don't doubt it. She'll have a picture of one of the women that the dead's been raised, and it'll go all over the nation. Because I don't like graveyards, and you ought to be glad I don't. Because I don't see nothing in graveyards that look good. You say, well, you can't stop it all. Well, I've been doing pretty good this year, so I'm going to keep trying. I'd like to stop it all together, and if anybody can, it'll be me. So you stick around, but I'm not going to be satisfied. Let me tell you, if somebody can spit up a cancer, if we can see a woman like last night just come right out of her crutches, just running down here, had been crippled for 4 years, hopelessly crippled, and just dropped them. Another brother left his crutches and went up the aisle, and we saw 6 people healed of blindness in yesterday's service. Now, if that can happen, why on earth can't we raise the dead? Why can't we stop dead? Why can't we stop the death from taking place? Jesus said, he that liveth and keeps my sayings shall never die. That's what he said. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. I'll tell you one thing. You got nothing to think about if I said plan to die. I heard some madam over here on Crenshaw Street, and some of these reverends said, I got a special lawyer on. I never heard such death in these churches. She said, she got a lawyer on telling how folks said, now you know you all got to die. It's appointed unto you once to die. So she said, I got a lawyer on here this morning to tell you how to make out your will. I thought, if that isn't awful, that's the most gory thing I ever heard tell of, to have a sermon on Sunday morning over the radio telling folk how to make their will out, getting ready to die. I'm not telling you how to get ready to die. I'm telling you how to get ready to live. You say, what if you're wrong? Well, 52 times this year I haven't been. And at least when it comes to us, it'll come as a surprise. And some of you folk be listening to these old jackleg preachers, and you're worried about dying every day. You've died 1,000 times this year already worrying about it. I don't expect to die. Thus, if I don't expect to die, I have fun. Who can have any fun thinking about dying? Now, you know there's no fun thinking about dying. Everybody used to talk about getting ready to die, getting ready to die. Every time you come to church, I got so I wouldn't go to church. Every time I was a child, tell me, get ready to die. They said, you're going to die and meet Jesus. And they, as I said, they're going to come out of the graveyard. I learned that lie when I was 9 years old, and I saw all those folk couldn't get their pelvic bones, couldn't find their ribs. We just dump it in a box and a sack, make the folk thought that that was their remains, because they wasn't no more apt. We could no more find skulls would be carried clear away. You'd find something with just a spine. You'd find a few bones. Heads would be taken away by these gophers and other the varmints that were under the ground. They'd be carried away. You couldn't find. I wonder how in the world you think that somebody going to rip out of a graveyard when you can't find their skull. I know better too, because we've seen in our meeting in the midweek service, we saw someone who had died that was troubled and needed forgiveness and was begging for forgiveness. They materialized right before our eyes, didn't they? We heard them speak. How many? Only once we heard it though. How many in this room heard it? The whole house heard it, because they had done something terrible against me and as a person, and we saw vividly a manifestation that there is no death. She wasn't no graveyard. As if she was in our room, we all heard her simultaneously at the same time, saying, I'm sorry, forgive me, my soul has no peace. So that can't happen. Oh yes, it did. It happened in the scripture, just as sure as you're living. The rich man came to Lazarus. He spoke to him. Don't tell me it can't happen. The rich man came to him and said, go save my brother. At least warn my relatives. Warn them. I've been a devil. Save my relatives. You don't know. You just been hoodwinked. I don't know why people bother to go to church. Come to church and listen to some old Jack Lake telling that Jesus is coming soon. They got a Cadillac parked out there and a Rolls Royce. Got the finest suits of clothes ever was. People won't even come here and support us when we feed all the children practically in Northern California. Take them all in. The courts of Northern California, practically the Bay Area, send us their babies. One whole county. We take care of every one of them without money or without price. We never worry whether we're going to get anything for it or not. And yet these people come listen to some old jackleg, drive up in a Lincoln, come promulgating down the aisles in some Westbrook Brothers suit and some Madison Avenue clothes and alligator shoes, come promulgating down with all of his fine riches and tell him Jesus is coming soon. He acts like Jesus is coming soon. Getting richer every day. You know, if Jesus was coming soon, if they thought that was going to really happen, they wouldn't be having all that Cadillac. What do you need with the Cadillac? You can't go flying through heaven with a Cadillac. You know better than that. These preachers, I know just a few. I met a brother back there, this precious brother up here that passed the cancer the other day. He's a real brother after my own heart. Brother Jackson, who's there near 90, he had broken leg because he knows where God is. And just instantaneously, I healed him. He didn't even have to go to have any cast put on. But so most of them, that's not the case. They tell you love some lie. And they'll tell you to give so they can have a Cadillac, and then they'll tell you to get ready to die. Now that's some message. You come to church to hear somebody tell you to get ready to die. I say, let's get ready to live. Let's get ready to live. I have come to give you life and freedom and life more abundantly. Oh yes, oh yes. So you think we're the ones to feel sorry for, because we say, oh, what if he's wrong? And people tell us that every time. And every time somebody dies in here, they carry him up here, one of them defecated, carrying him clear up the front aisle. The BM was all over him, the urine was all over them, carried him in from the outside. We raised him up from the dead, and these fools will still keep saying, well, what if he's wrong? What if you're wrong? 52 times this year, and 72 is not over. We've been right. Man was dead 20 long minutes. 20 long minutes. He was there last Friday night worshiping God in San Francisco. 20 minutes dead. That was 5 months ago. Raised from the dead. I got nothing to gain by listening to you. You got everything to gain by trying what I'm doing. Because you'll be happy. You'll be happy like a lark. Some of you just worrying. You got your death burial insurance. You got your tomb insurance. You got your cemetery plot. You got your tombstone. And you listen to these people come in. I tell them, go on your way. I don't need no tombstone. One of my old relatives, God, he said he's going to make some money selling tombstones. Now, I'm going to tell you, he went on, he got that job on Monday, and on Thursday, he said, on Tuesday, he said, I just feel death all around me. He says, it's terrible getting in this tombstone business. And on Thursday, he had a heart attack and died. Maker, that's a peace. I'm not going to worry about somebody that's going on me, the peace, when I have got somebody alive. But if any of you happen to make the mistake and have an accident and die, I'm going to stand by you. I won't be ashamed of it, but I'm rather glad to say that in all these years, I haven't had a funeral to conduct in our inner circle up there in Rapid Valley. There's thousands up there, and we've had no funeral to conduct in years, and we've had nobody die in the immediate family there since 1959. Now, you tell me you want me to start living like you, you can go to and stay put. I'm going to live my way. I listened to all those people, my family telling me about death. I thought about death. I imagined death when I was a child, but I quit thinking about it. Now I never worry about it. No, I'm in such a good shape too. You see if you can outrun me. Last night, one of the brothers, I was running down the street. He says, my God, DC was 16. He said, I can't keep up with you. And I'm a grandfather. Won't be long before I'm a great-grandfather. That's what happens by thinking about life. Life. If you think about death, that's what you get. What you see, what you get. What you think is what you are. So I'm not going to do it. Now try my way. Try it. Just try to think of love and life. I just thought when I was going through the aisles, one of the persons said to me, oh, Brother Jones, isn't your hand tired? Isn't your arm tired? I said, no, mine isn't, because I think of all these lovely people. And I want to show them how much I love them. And that's what I think about. I don't think about my hand being tired. People squeeze your arm, they pull it. They really pull you. One sister nearly pulled my arm out. But, you know, if you keep your mind on the people and think about what people have gone through, what it is to be poor, what it is to have come up as a poor white or black person in this society and be mistreated. If you think on that, you won't worry about your arm, and you won't worry when somebody's stepping on your toes. I must have had 15 people stomp on my toes like it was the floor. But it don't make any difference, because I was thinking about how beautiful you are and how you deserve the best. And I'm going to tell you, by God in heaven, I'm going to give you the best if it's the last thing I do. If I don't get it done, it won't be because I haven't tried. And here a year ago when I came, I haven't been here a year. Haven't been coming to Los Angeles a year for regular meetings. Here we've got a church. About 60 of our people are up there. We have people up there, 60-some from Los Angeles, who are in our senior citizen homes or in Valley residences, are in our dorms, are in our children's homes. Think of what's been done in a year. By not worrying about death or getting ready to meet Jesus. Say, I'm getting ready to meet Jesus. What are you doing to get ready to meet Jesus? You phonies, some of you phonies. I'm looking at one or two out there that I see quite clearly. You're always saying, well, we ought to, somebody, when I went down there, I said, Brother Jones, you ought to take more time for prayer. Yeah, well, when you get as much done as I do, you do it your way and I'll do it mine, okay? We've seen people of every stripe. Not the young men that sang the lead in You'd walk a mile in my shoes. He was a drug addict, hopelessly, had been in prison, three-time loser. They said he couldn't possibly be saved. I said he can. I said if we go to that court, we stand together, he will be. I said I didn't say maybe. I said he this time, I didn't even say if we go. I said he's going to be. And he was. So 3 years later, he's still singing in our group, working in our church, and he once was a criminal, a thug, that would hurt anybody he could find or see. Now, if I'd have been doing what you say back there, dear lady, and all respect to you, there would be hundreds of people. We've got 140 youngsters out of the drug traffic. Not drinking, smoking, not using drugs, out being useful citizens. Not one in Redwood Valley, you can check with the Sheriff's Department, Sheriff of Mendocino County, not one of them ever been arrested. That's something to think about. Not one. Don't take my word. Write Sheriff Bartlemy and see for yourself. Read old Bartlemy. He'll tell you that. Not one of them ever been arrested. Now, if I had been taking all the time to do what some of you folks say is the way to get ready to meet Jesus, you know, I never heard Jesus say that. I heard Jesus say, if somebody's hungry, feed them. Yeah, I heard that. I heard that, but I didn't hear what you say. It's amazing how we can believe what we want to believe, you know. People just do a good job believing what they want to believe. Now, you want to know what the judgment day is going to ask you for? You know what it's going to ask you for? It's not going to ask you how many prayed. Matthew 25, verses 34, I think, says that the Christ shall say to them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom on earth prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was in need of prayer, and you prayed. Or I needed you to get baptized, and you got baptized. I needed you to speak in tongues, and you spoke in tongues. Never said a cotton-picking word about that, and you know it. Said, for I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. And they said, Jesus, when did we ever see you sick, naked, hungry, or thirsty? He said, oh, you didn't. In that you did it unto the least of these. In that you did it to the poorest white mother or the poorest black mother. In that you did it to the poorest among men. In that you did it unto the least of these. You did it unto me. You know why you do so much praying. It's easier. It's easier to get down there and moan and groan and howl and beg and blow off and spit the mouth and anybody can do that. Said the hypocrites in the last day, they'll stand up in the synagogue with a loud voice. They'll be seen of men. Said they'll pray so that men can see them. But he said, beware, they already have their reward. He said, if you want to do something, go home and do it in your closet. Said, if you want to pray, go and pray to your God in secret, who will reward you openly. But some people got to get to church, hate their neighbor, won't help anybody poor on the street, would never do anything for civil rights, wouldn't do anything for peace, wouldn't do anything for justice, wouldn't do anything about crime or violence that's in our society. But you come into church and you say, hallelujah, glory to God. Ballyhoo like an old dying calf.
meet and when you go home, mean to your husband or mean to your wife and beat on your children and come inside. There's some folk that are schizophrenia. They got two personalities, one in church and one at home. Split. They're split right down the middle. I see them. I out on the street, I saw someone. I was out walking. They didn't know me because I don't always wear my glasses. I walk in my old, I got old overhauls, you know, those old things, corduroy overhauls. No, not the corduroy. What? Well, that doesn't make any difference. The old farmer type clothes. Now, I'll be out there walking. I saw some sister come along and she's down there. She's just promulgating off the bus. She just got off the bus coming down here to the meeting house. And a little dog came up and she said, "Get away from me." A little bit later, I met her down there in one of the seats and she shook my hand and she just smiled so graciously, so beautifully. But when she's out on the streets, a little dog that needs a little love, she kicks it off the street. You know what? You'd have been better off. I'm not a drinker or a smoker. I never boozed in my life. But you know what you'd have been better off to do this morning? Got you a fifth of old granddaddy's. I bought you some old coal and set up on the side of the bed and drank every drop of it, because you might have been nicer when you got through than the way you are right now. I know some of you folks don't like what I say, but it's because some of you know. I know one man in our town, there's a brother, there was sweet brother there in Redwood Valley. He was sweet. He used to be drunk, get drunk every Saturday night, come down. He'd offer help with the animals. He'd offer help with the children. He was a good man. Then he went to a holiness church on one Friday night and got saved. Meanest devil ever since. He said, "You proselytize across land and sea." You better listen, because one of you needed sick there. Proselytize over land and sea, encompassing the whole world, making twofold more a child of hell. That's what the church ministry does. That's what the church age does. It preaches everybody under condemnation, gets them worried about hell, and you bring them some sniveling coward. Preach them they're afraid they're going to burn up in hell, so they run into church, and they're most nice when they were drunks. Then you get them into church, and they're mean as hell. You know it's true. Some of the meanest stuff I've ever seen done. The meanest stuff I've ever seen done. The only bad adverse publicity we ever had, which started in San Francisco by a preacher and went on to Indianapolis, done by preachers, done by churches. When they come and Sister Letourneau here, our white-haired lady, called her up, "Preacher," threatened her very existence. That's what you got, these kind of religious folk. They'll call you up. I've had them on the end of a telephone. I didn't know. I never preach this way, but somebody here needs it. I never plan any sermon. Often I just ask what's on your mind, or I just start on what I know is on somebody's mind or what needs to be on their mind. They called us up and would say in the middle of the night, "Uchikichi makamuka mudiga babubuku." Speak in tongues to you and say, "We want you to die. We're going to kill your dogs. We're going to kill you, you niggers. We don't like you. We're going to run you out of town." You know, I never had the first drunk ever call me up. One time they threatened to burn down our church in the place we were at. And a whole bunch of them, these Pentecostals around, threatened to do this, that were prejudiced and hate, filled with hate. You know who called us? The downtown tavern. He says, I've seen you rescue lives. I've seen you take in everybody. I know what you do for people. And that tavern owner called up and he says, one of the old brothers that gets drunk and comes in here, his wife belongs to that Pentecostal church down here, and he told me that they're getting ready to break out all your windows tonight. And he said, I love you people and I want you to do something about it. And you could hear all the boozing in the background. They were making high noises and loud noise. He called us, and because the drunk was in there telling what his Pentecostal wife and their church was getting ready to do, and lo and behold, they were. We met them out on the road with their rocks. Never run so fast in their life either. You know, they get all this stuff. They create fear. They say the devil's over there, and the evil's over there, and witches over there. So I got out by the road, and these all these folk all lined up there getting ready to do their dirty work. And I says, yee, here's one of the witches. I lie not. There were several noticeable signs as the person went running down the road. You could take their path and follow it. You didn't need a map because I literally scared it. We had no more trouble. Now we could have stood there on our knees and prayed and they'd have broke our windows out. We could have got in there and sung Amazing Grace and they'd have done all they wanted to, but we got out there and put legs on our prayers and run them all the way down that darn street, and that took care of it. I mean, they were in the fields panting, my God, the devil's after us, the devil's after us. I run them for 1 square mile. I thought I'll take them 1 whole mile length, and I run them clear through pear fields and grape fields. I thought I'll give you dirty devils out there thinking you do God a service. That's what church people do. They'll even kill you thinking they do God a service. It's not alcoholics you need to worry about. It's not the street worker, the street walker, or the whores, or the pimps you need to worry about. In the last days, it said the church would be your worst enemy. Those of the whole household would be your worst enemy. There's a lady back there that cuts people's hair and takes care of children, Sister Edith Cardell, one of the most beautiful women I've ever known, in dedication to others. She's been a mother, though she'd never adopted any, never been married. She's adopted children, reared more than most. And a Pentecostal church in Indianapolis, Indiana, Calvary Tabernacle, cooked up a deal that the preacher even laughed about it over the phone. There she stands right there. Laughed about it. I was telling him certain things. He said, oh, I believe that, but I'm not going to preach it. Everything we were preaching, he said, I believe. But he said, you haven't begun to see what we're going to do. We're going to really do things that you would not even begin to think we'd do. I said, I'm not surprised anything you'll do. Well, they took her documents. They took her deeds. They took her papers and stole them. That bunch, under the orders of that preacher, stole them right out. And if I hadn't had a gift, she'd have been in the mental institution. Because the next day, they came and was going to take her in on a subpoena, the white-haired woman that just stood up back there. They were going to take her to that Pentecostal church. Say, what is it? I'll name it Calvary Tabernacle, run by that rascal Urshan. You say rascal. Yes, he's a rascal. Reverend Imes and Reverend Beam in here. What we went to him one time, Brother Cordell. We went in. He wanted us to join because I had healing ministry. He wanted me to join that UPC, UPLM Charlie. That's a good name for it. Or better yet, underprivileged children. And he wanted us to join it. I said, Brother, I like to watch news and things and documentaries on TV. He said, well, I said, you've got a law against TV. He said, oh, yes, we got a law against TV. But he said, you come in here. And he took us in the bedroom. He took Brother standing right here and took other. He said, come in here. He said, see, under this sheet. He said, that's my TV. And he said, when anybody comes in, I cover it with a TV, with a sheet. I said, now, Brother, I don't work that way. I said, if I believe in looking at something, I'm going to look at it out in the open. I'm not going to hide for anybody. But that man was so evil, he stole all her deeds, and then they sent a detective, and if I hadn't had a revelation, I was miles away, but the Spirit showed me, and I called her, I said, there's a detective there to take you. She said, yes. I said, he's black, isn't he? She said, yes. I said, let him talk to me. And he had a warrant. They was going to take her for a hearing at the general hospital, or really what they call it, a observation. And she'd have been there 6 weeks. And in those old general hospital wards for those that are mentally disturbed, if you aren't disturbed when you go in, you will be when you get out. And you know what that preacher did? He had all that stuff, said she was absent-minded, she wasn't responsible, she'd given all of her deeds away. And I couldn't get anybody to believe me, so I got a Dr. Lewis H. Deere, and you can check it out. I said, he knew I had a gift. You know, he's a member, he's a doctor, he didn't, a PhD, he didn't understand it. He said, I've seen it work, so I'll take you at your word. I said, you call him and tell him to deliver that back at the church. Or there's going to be trouble, that we know they've got it. He didn't, tell him a prophet told him that they had it. So he called and let all those Pentecostals, you hear him on the broadcast all the time, it's harvest time. He's the biggest Pentecostal church broadcast, I suppose, in the nation today. You'll hear him, harvest time, Reverend Urshan. And so he called him and said, get it back. We know you've got it. They come marching in to our church and laid down her deeds, all her papers with the police because they were so afraid, laid them right down there. That preacher had, and that bunch that was in the church, some of her own relatives, brought it back. And they had stolen it, child, trying to make her look insane. And you know what we had to do to prove her not? She had to go to a psychiatrist and pay out good earned money to prove that she was not insane. That's what churches have done. Don't you talk to me about churches. Say, you don't like churches. No, I don't like them very much, because they've done nothing but just crucify one another. They knock each other down. They rob the people of the money. They won't build anything for the people. They don't educate their children. They don't take care of their own people in their golden years. They just take money for preachers' Cadillacs and Rolls Royces. I got no time for them. You come up Thanksgiving, it's free. You free housing, free food. You have good old-fashioned Thanksgiving trimmings. You come up there and see the beautiful facilities we have. And that's why we get in trouble. Because if this catches hold by other churches, if it catches hold by other churches, they're in trouble. Another man tried to do this in Redwood Valley, an Episcopalian minister. They run him out, accused him of every kind of lie, run him out of the town. And I'm going to tell you, anybody that tries to do this, they're going to persecute, they're going to lie on, they're going to try to kill him. And what's the scripture say? They'll think they do God a service. Now, you know no prostitute or drunk is going to think they do God a service. So who it is going to do it? It's going to be good church members, good old holiness types, good old Pentecostal types that act like they got something, but all they got's a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. Well, I didn't mean to get into it, but I'm sick of your nonsense, wanting to pray, wanting to shout, and wanting to have a Hosanna hoedown, hallelujah hoedown. You never want to get out and feed the hungry and clothe the naked. And I'm telling you, you don't know your scripture. You don't know what God said. You are the one that's wrong, because you're never going to see Jesus until you get concerned about every hungry, naked, every stranger, everybody in prison, everybody that's mistreated. If you don't get what Jesus' brother said, James, first chapter, the 27th verse, he said, pure religion was undefiled before God and the Father is to minister to the orphans and widows in their affliction. Didn't say nothing about jumping up and down, praying and frothing at the mouth and speaking in tongues or getting baptized. It said, minister to the orphans and the widows in their affliction. That's what it said. I know some of you don't like it and some of you walked out, but you can keep on walking, because when you get hungry or when you get in trouble or when your son gets in court, right over there, the district attorney who's a member of our church, and another man who was healed of cancer when he was dying, who was a district defender up in Reading, there are two lawyers in there right now working free for everyone in here that has need. You know your cotton-picking churches don't give you no free lawyers. You know they don't give you no free nurses. You know they don't give you no homes to stay in that are free. They work around the clock all night. We're in their problems. We're up here 5 o'clock this morning working with your problems. We were up all night, most of us that were in the staff. What are you talking about? You get mad at me because I tell you how you've been robbed? You ought to be glad I'm telling you you've been robbed. You've been took. They don't even believe what they preach. Tell you you're getting ready to meet Jesus. Jesus is coming soon. Then they take up more money for a new Cadillac every year. As I said, if they believed Jesus was coming soon, they wouldn't have to have that fine clothes and the fine jewels. I don't even own a watch. And I don't believe he's coming soon. I believe he is here and he's not going to go anyplace else. I believe Christ is in you, the hope of glory. I believe we're going to have to make a heaven out of this earth. We're not going to fly anywhere. We're going to make a heaven out of here. The kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ. We're going to have heaven right down here amongst the people. But I don't even own a watch. I'm borrowing somebody's here today. Because I don't like to have watches when some people don't have food. I'm not objecting you having one. I'm not objecting you having a good car. I'm just telling you what I got to do myself. Well, I've said enough to cause you to do a little thinking. Let them practice what they preach. If you got anybody, I'll tell you. You got anybody that can outlive me? Anybody that's adopted more children? Anybody that'll fight in the courts as I have every time? Last time I was here, you know, we had the people, 140 people, got together and went in to free this brother that was on heroin to give him another chance. He's been up there working in our church, helping others ever since. We never let you go to face anything alone. We stand by you. And I get tired of some of you folk like that sister saying to me, I need to pray more. What you need to do, honey, is to get off your rear end and get to work. I don't mind for some dear one that's doing more than me. Now, I haven't found that person yet, but if they were, I'd be glad for you to give me some advice. But somebody back there, she had all fancy diamonds on, telling me, I'm praying for you to do more and pray more and get more of Jesus. What do I, you tell me, that's just like some, oh well. You won't pay attention anyway. Couldn't change you. Won't change you until you get in trouble. One of your loved ones get in trouble. Now, I'll bet you you don't pray. I'll bet you the first thing you do when one of your children gets in trouble, which is going to happen to you because you're so self-centered, when that teenage boy gets in trouble, you know who I'm talking to back there. When that teenage boy gets in trouble, I'm telling you, you're not going to pray. You're going to lift up that phone. You're not going to call Jesus Christ. You're going to call Jim Jones. And you know what? I'd come and help him because he needs help. Anybody that lives with you needs a lot of help. Don't mess with me. Give me advice. I can take it in a lot of areas. Tell me how we can better serve people, I gladly. But don't come up with your pious nonsense and tell me when I work night and day and I just healed somebody with cancer and yesterday 6 people of blindness and a woman left her crutches and came running down the aisle free of arthritis, the child stands up free of sickle cell anemia. Don't you get up in my face and tell me I need to pray more when I'm working night and day to help the people. You just shut your mouth and do more yourself. Get your mouth shut and do more yourself. The way I feel about it. Hands. Brother came up. I'm sorry, I forgot to tell. I don't know what happened in the offering, but he said it was the worst offering we've had. The guard that came up, I never handled the money. He said the offering was atrocious.
Come and see him once a month or once every 2 months, and we'll give him all of our money, and then you ought to go back and see how he lives in New York. Been all these years he's been coming, I suppose 10 years in now Los Angeles, and there's no home for the aged. There's not one children's home. There's not one person educated. Nothing but fine clothes. He's got all that tinsel, fairy, queen stuff all rug around his head. Sits on a gold throne. Sets on velvet. Got a crown in his last magazine. Somebody brought me, had a crown on. What kind of fools are we? I tell you, we don't need the white man to put us down. We got so many dummies in our own ranks. We don't need anybody to put us down. We got our own selves to deal with. I said, you know it's the truth anyhow. We're the one that... I just turned that radio on in there while I was counseling this morning, listening. Listen to the foolishness that comes off here. Telling about this and telling about that and telling about... She said, some sister said, I sense out there in the radio land, there's two white hands making me out a $50 check. Silly old woman. She ought to said, I saw two white hands and one black hand. She never saw anything other than... I stopped that out of respect. I know what you're saying now. You say, knocking, knocking. That's what you're going to rationalize. He is knocking other people. Oh, yes, and you bet your life I am. If I see some snake in your camp, you think I'm not going to knock a rattlesnake? You think I'm going to let a rattlesnake just get around and crawl around? Well, I can handle a rattlesnake, but I can handle rattlesnakes better than I can some of these people, but because the other day one of my members stayed home from church. And having some trouble from them. They weren't working. The brother wasn't working like he ought to. And you know what? A rattlesnake crawled right in and come up and sat right in the middle of the floor. I said, well, get on the ball. Get in here. I said, I'll order the rattlesnake out. And I sent the word, and the rattlesnake went crawling right back out where it came from. But I can handle rattlesnakes better. But tell me, child, do you really think that it's possible that we can let this kind of stuff go on and not talk about it? Somebody had better deal with it. Somebody better deal with it. If I come whipping up here, and some of you don't seem to understand it yet. This is a huge room. This is me, I'm here. And these pants cost $1.98 6 years ago on Market Street in San Francisco, $1.98. And these shoes, it's got no heel. And the Spirit's been good to me because both heels fell off the same way. I'm not bragging about that. I'm just saying that I'm sick or tired of us listening to people. It can't do a thing for you. Can't give you anything. Can't give you food when you're hungry. Don't take care of your children. Don't take care of your older people. Don't leave anything. Just come in and take all the money out of Los Angeles. Don't put anything in it. And then you go drifting right on back in there and eat their vomit. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. That's what you ought to be. Now, you folk want me to quit out there. There's a whole lot of folk in this section I'm talking to. And you won't clap your hand. You know where you can get me to quit? Start clapping your hands like you're listening, because I'm going to keep preaching till your teeth falls out if you don't start listening. I'm sick of sold out folk. I come out and said how to supported congressmen and people that were all against the movement for freedom, for black freedom and liberation. And he goes on and says the best man in the country is Colonel Saunders. Fried chicken. Said everybody ought to be like Colonel Saunders. And we dummies. Some of us adopting children. Some of us never get any sleep. Some of us never get hardly enough time to talk to our babies. I have to sit them down and sometimes the last minute of the day, but I always manage to do it some way.
just a little bit because so many needs, and you could make it easier. I'm talking about some of you house niggers sitting in here right now. That's who I'm talking to. That's who I'm talking to. Said the idea you called me one. I'll tell you, it takes one to know one. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm not a house nigger. I'm a field nigger. And I don't like house niggers. Wait, sister, you better not leave. Some of us adopted 8 children, rearing 13, taking in babies, 200 of them that were starving until I fed them. It's not right with all the little animals we take in. Every time we come down here, somebody sends us a little starving animal or some child that hasn't been properly taken care of. I said, you dirty, rotten devils, it's not right when you give money to these people and you only put $500 in an offering. You won't help people that have got all these senior citizen homes, all these college programs. It's not right when you do this, and somebody better tell you, because sure as a dickens, you're going to meet an angry God. Terrible. Well, I'm going to, before I go in the healing service, I'm going to try. I hate offerings with a passion. We need a PA so that people can get some of this. Not particularly today. I've just been pouring out my soul. Yesterday's message was vital. If you'd have got that, you'd have been free. You'd have been free. You'd have known the truth and it would have set you free. Today there have been kind of parable generalities, just extemporaneous speaking from the heart. I'm asking today, who's going to help us? Folk, we need help. We need help.